Hello, America. Dave Hodges here. I'm the host of the Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. Thank you so much for joining us. We're coming to you live from the Noble Gold Studios, and we would really encourage you. You saw my piece on the draft for the second globalization of the world by Larry Fink and BlackRock. They're coming for your savings. They're coming for your pensions, and you need alternatives. Noble Gold can help you with all this. They'll give you the details. All you got to do is call them at 877-646-5347, 877-646-5347. Of course, there's never any guarantees, but I will say this in counter to that. Not only have I been an advertiser for almost 9 years, I've been a customer for almost eight multiple times over. 877-646-5347. Well, we have a return visit from Joshua Philip, and he is from the New York Times, has a great show called Crossroads. We're going to talk about that in a few minutes. But I asked Joshua to come back on because he's going to be able to expand on a small story I did that talked about subversive Chinese student arrangements and organizations on university campuses designed to sow propaganda and discord among America's youth. Well, it's gotten a lot bigger where Congress is now involved in this. Joshua, I'm so glad that you came on to talk about this because we are totally being sabotaged. Let me just ask you a quick question. Mainstream media supporting this CCP initiative?
Yeah, well, yeah, important point on that. I think you slipped up, said New York Times with the Epic Times. New
Oh, did
York
I say
Times
New
doesn't like,
York? I am so
yeah, no
sorry.
worries.
Oh,
Yeah, they
okay.
don't like me one
Oh,
bit.
my
So,
gosh.
yeah. But on the point of New York Times, no, they tend
Got
to
it.
cover this stuff up. They tend to go with those guys. New York Times, they even, there was a human rights tribunal in the United Kingdom, in the UK, where they were talking about live organ harvesting of Chinese dissidents and how the
Yes.
CCP uses Falun Gong practitioners is like sources for organ transplants to kill them on demand. There was a reporter who came out there with New York Times. She said that New York Times stopped her from covering the story about it. And so when it comes to espionage, when it comes to human rights abuses, when it comes to the kind of real sensitive no-go topics, some media will cover it a little bit, but there's always a limit. If you're working in China, if you have reporters in China, if you have an office in China, there's like no-go topics. So they don't have the autonomy, I'd say at best. I'd actually say I believe some of them are totally bought off by the CCP. But at the very least, they don't have autonomy.
That is amazing. Yeah, well, you've seen the ratings for the mainstream media, both print and visual, and they're in the toilet. I mean, we have I and two of my endeavors outdraw CNN and those groups, so they are really in trouble,
Oh, yeah.
and they're in trouble for reasons like this. But I want to get back to the subversion part of it. Is the CCP linking with groups that are pro-Palestinian, pro-Hamas, and are they behind what's going on university campuses with the persecution of Jewish students? And can we extend that into the LA riots?
Yes. So I can talk about this on many levels. The most surface one is the whole debate around Neville Sinn, who is an Indian man. He's of course based in Shanghai. He's married to the wife. He's married to the head of Code Pink, and he's also one of the biggest financiers of a lot of these very far left movements. Now, for him to testify, he just refused, and he's since it seems he's disappeared. They can't find out where he is. But this individual based in Shanghai is, in fact, one of the big money players when it comes to these groups we see protesting all across the United States. And in particular, the very far left socialist and communist ones. Now, there needs to be kind of a bit of a divide between how we understand these groups. Groups like the No Kings protest, right? That was more politically aligned, kind of grassroots Democrat Party. You had about 190 organizations involved with those ones. As if we look at the other groups, for example, the ones tied in with the LA riots, the burning of cars, and that whole nine yards, you do have some kind of grassroots people just going out there. I mean, I went out there personally. I was in LA. I watched the cars burn and stuff like that too. But you also had some very well-organized, very coordinated people. I saw them communicating, guys with radios in their backpacks, weird stuff like that. You also have a very far-left, actual communist element to it. And that's where you get into the Antifa guys. That's where you get into the professional protesters. That's when you get into that space. And when you get into that space, you do have some that have ties to the CCP. Groups, for example, like the Chinese Progressive Association, other things you would call TONGs, TONGS, have been shown to have some involvement in that element of it. And that's still, of course, being investigated by Congress. They're trying to get people to testify. They're not able to do it so far. A bit.
Stepping,
I'll go ahead.
I was going to say, stepping away from China just for a moment, the $100 million fire aid from the movie stars, who I think most of them were sincere and really wanted to help the community, none of that money can be accounted for. Do you think that money, have you discovered, has any of that money been channeled into the same things you're talking about here with CCP involvement in the LA riots?
So, yeah, you're mentioning, of course, the money that was donated by all these celebrities to build back Hollywood. And
Yeah.
we're not seeing Hollywood get built back.
That's right.
Now, there's different claims on that. I know Trump has actually been criticizing Governor Gavin Newsom about, hey, where's the bill? Where's the construction? Where'd the money go? What are you doing? Gavin Newsom shot back at Trump and he basically just said, hey, you're a big conspiracy theorist, fundamentally. I do think they're going to need to have full investigations into that. We don't really know where the money went.
Okay.
As things currently stand, it does not look like it doesn't look like they're really building back either. The land is going up, like what they fittingly at this case called fire sales. And so it seems there's a big real estate sell-off going off there.
Well, that's interesting. Well, I don't think a lot of that money is going into people's bank accounts. But I do, because that'd be easy to prove. If DOJ came in, they just start checking people's bank accounts. Hey, where did this 1 million come from? But I know that one of Gavin Newsom's, shall we say, political action groups received some of that money. I know that for a fact.
Wow,
And
that's good.
that's why I asked you the question. I don't want to digress there. But we're looking at Chinese involvement in the LA riots. It would make sense that they're using some of this money to fund it, because some of that money went to immigration groups, pro-immigration groups, immigration lawyers. And so where's the money? And you look at this and say, are they diverting the money for these protests? Because you're right. They're talking about the radios, the sophisticated signs, the organization and what they're doing. This is not an organic protest that went on out there.
Well, the one of the problems you have, you mentioned like legal groups. A lot of times the legal, the lawyers and stuff, they work with NGOs. And so they're
Yes.
like the legal branch of a Latin rights advocacy group or something like that, if they're working on the immigration side of it. But the problem you have when you get into that is money is fungible. It's fungible, right? It's fun or fungible. So if you have a homeless guy and he has $20 for food, and you give him $20 and tell him, hey, this is only for food, he can take the $20 you gave him for food and use the $20 he used to have for drugs, right?
Yes.
And
Right.
so, did you give him $20 for drugs or did you give him $20 for food? I mean, maybe this is not the best analogy here, but that's how this stuff works.
Yeah.
If you give money to an organization and they were going to use it for their base operations, maybe legal representation to stop deportations, and suddenly you pour money into the group and say, hey, this is only for use for helping the migrant community with a food drive or something like that. Maybe they were going to do that anyway, but then you've doubled their income or tripled their income, and then they can use it for protests, they can use it for community organizing events and things like that. And so it does have that effect. On the point of the Chinese Communist Party, though, when it comes to the pro-Palestine movement, the drug cartels, the whole nine yards. So when in terms of the actual grassroots protests, you do have some connections to Chinese front groups and TONGs, TONGS, which are like their fraternal organizations, which work with the Chinese consulates and student groups and things like that. But the CCP itself has deep ties into the real kind of deeper nexus of these organizations. Remember when it co okay, a couple examples just on the Palestine issue, right? Right before the October 7th attack, the Chinese Communist Party personally, in fact, brought over the heads of the Palestinian Authority right before the attack took place on October 7th. Right before the Taliban went and rolled into, went into Afghanistan and took over, Bagram Airport and just overturned everything our troops fought to accomplish there. The Chinese Communist Party personally met with all the heads of the Taliban right before that happened. If you go back further, talking specifically about Hamas and Hezbollah, which is different, but Iran-backed as well. The Chinese Communist Party and Russia, they were the ones who trained Yasser Arafat. Yasser Arafat was a terrorist working with the Chinese Communist Party and with the Soviets, both of them, in fact. And so these movements have always, the CCP has always had a deep footprint in that region. Talking specifically about Hezbollah, the CCP is the main find, they do the money laundering for the drug cartels, and Hezbollah is tied in with, I'll explain. The CCP does the money laundering for the drug cartels. They do the precursor chemicals. They actually supply some of the firearms. America gets blamed for it. They get it from different places, but further down, a lot of it's like Norinco. It's Chinese firearms, and they've been caught smuggling them, by the way. They also supply the precursor chemicals, and they work, of course, with a lot of the Middle Eastern terrorist groups that supply things like, for example, Afghan heroin and things like that, right? Hezbollah actually has a deep footprint all throughout Latin America. They have actual political parties in some countries. In Peru, Hezbollah is an actual political party. Some other groups in Latin America are what you call narco-terrorist organizations, Shining Path, others.
Yes.
Many of them are Maoist. They're trained by China. The CCP trained them. Going into Hezbollah directly in Mexico. I've been told by people who used to work, former U.S. intelligence officers, including with NSA, they told me that Hezbollah helped train them on I tra train the cartels on
That's true.
tunnel building and IEDs,
That's true.
which of course they were using as roadside bombs to kill our soldiers. And when you watch these, I guess you call them terrorist groups now, but the Mexican cartels, they're using technologies and methods that are, in fact, pulled from some of these terrorist organizations, which are very much tied in with their operations. And so, whether it's the terrorist side, whether it's the political corruption side and the buying off politician side, whether it's the subversive movements, the destabilization efforts, whether it's the drug trade, killing more Americans every year than the entire Vietnam War, the Chinese Communist Party is involved with these on a deep, deep level.
Yeah, exactly. And in fact, I'm going to just backtrack to what something you just said. I want to verify that. This comes from DEA, and this comes back in 2013, 2014, and when the first big migration pattern was happening. And I was approached by someone the DEA is getting ready to retire, and he told me about the Shining Path. It used to be called the Sanchez Paredes Cartel, but they were the link between Middle East terrorist groups like Hamas and the cartel, and they were trained together in Honduras and El Salvador at the time. No longer in El Salvador. I don't know about Honduras, but they trained them, and they trained them in IEDs. Here's a scary thing, Joshua. They trained them also in the use of surface-to-air missiles,
I didn't know
handheld,
that part.
to bring down airliners. I know this for a fact. Dianne Feinstein had a fit about this in the Senate because she wanted the technology to put on every airliner to basically negate that possibility of an attack, and that got shot down. No pun intended. So you're absolutely right about this. And the Sanchez Paredes cartel, now known as the Shining Path, was also, and this has not made the mainstream media, was involved in an assassination plot against Trump, and he decided not to take a trip to South America because of this information. And I have that on very good authority. So you're absolutely right about that link. And those links are prevalent in America today. Is that what you're also saying?
Oh, very much so.
Yes.
Very, very much so. They use it to kill. Okay, so drug. If you want to talk about drug warfare, this was actually started by Mao Zedong. This was a Mao Zedong project.
Wow.
There's not a lot of sources on it. I can give you a very solid one though. There was a book called Red Cocaine, written by a man named Joseph Douglas, out of print, but you can find PDFs on it still. This talked about how Mao Zedong worked with the Cuban intelligence agencies. Or work through, Fidel Castro using the Cuban intelligence agencies to infiltrate Latin America and start what was a one, a power play to run a people's revolution using what they call the scum of society to corrupt, take over these countries, right? But also with the goal of destabilizing the United States and of enriching the Chinese Communist Party with money when they needed money. Now, Mao Zedong modeled the drug warfare after the opium wars waged by the Brits against the last Chinese dynasty, which did play a big role in leading to the collapse of the Chinese imperial era, giving rise to the CCP. So they knew how the game worked. They called cocaine people's cocaine. And what Mao Zedong did, with the Chinese Communist Party, they went through Cuba. Cuba, you might say, not a big country. Why would they matter for this? It's the Cuban intelligence services. Their intelligence services are very, very, they're very aggressive. And they have a footprint all throughout Latin America. And so what they did was they had the Cuban intelligence services working, on the orders of the CCP, go and establish drug networks. You mentioned Shining Path, and of course their former name. CCP was training them as narco-terrorist organizations. So you had communist-trained revolutionary groups starting up the drug trade. And then what do they do? Well, what happens when you create an underworld economy? Well, first off, you get the criminal elements involved in your movement, right? You win their allegiance. You create business opportunities. You create the ability to, one, establish smuggling networks, which you can use to smuggle in weapons, surface-to-air missiles, as you mentioned. One of the benefits of drug trade is you create smuggling channels that you can use for other things, right? The other thing is you start creating corruption. You corrupt the police, you corrupt the government, you corrupt the judges. And once you start corrupting that, then you start having people who are willing to harm the people of their country, who are willing to betray the people of their country for financial and personal interests. And so those then become the targets for political subversion. The CCP can say, okay, this judge is bought off by the cartels. We can use them to, maybe they want to bring a case for a Chinese business interest. Maybe they want to go in there and do something else. Well, they know that they have people in their pocket. If they buy off a government official, hey, even better, right? Or they, make it so they can even kill, like you now see in Mexico happening, kill any politician trying to rise up through the ranks who opposes them. Once you have the ability to control those in power and kill anybody who would contest you, you control the country. And so the CCP understands this. They can make business deals. They can go in there with the Belt and Road Initiative. They can do whatever they want because they control the country as a puppet state because they destabilized it and they now control it by using what are cartels or terrorist groups. It's the same thing they do, by the way, in a lot of Middle Eastern countries with the terrorist groups. It's the same exact thing. And so these organizations they establish, whether under the guise of, religious fervor, or under the guise of some kind of, financial enterprise, using underworld markets, are ways to control countries. They're trying to do that in the United States as well. And anytime they can corrupt somebody, anytime they can get a politician in their pocket or a judge in their pocket or anybody in their pocket, it's like they're part of that nexus. And so for Mao Zedong starting this, that's why they did it. And on that light too, you can understand why Hezbollah is tied in with it, why Hamas is tied in with it. Why the cartels are tied in with it, why Shining Path is tied in with it. Another example of this, there's an organization that helped facilitate what they call the Pink Wave all throughout Latin America. That was the communist takeover of fundamental, it was like 90s, right? The communist revolutions or democratic socialism, I guess you could call it, all throughout Latin America. That was done by an organization called the Forum of Sao Paulo, the Foro ao Sao Paulo. And that was Lula da Silva working with the Castro regime in Cuba. Again, they call it the Foro of Sao Paulo because Brazil, right? And so between that, the Foro of Sao Paulo, they had Shining Path part of it, by the way. They planned, trained, organized all these political movements that swept all across Latin America. And yes, they're tied in very heavily, CCP, Russia, and Iran as well.
Yeah, the penetration, I was going to ask you how far it's gone. Here's what I do know about penetration. At the time I was talking to the DEA agent, he said that anyone affiliated with the Shining Path, whether they're Hamas terrorists or cartel operative, They can go onto the diplomatic pouch, so to speak. It's informal, but they can get into the U.S. anywhere, anytime they want. Are you aware of that?
I would 100% believe it. I don't, I haven't had details on that, but I've seen examples of that.
Yeah, it's interesting. And I remember, and this is what I'm going to ask about penetration. We know the Bidens were a captured entity, but this person also, this DEA agent, also brought my attention to the trial of someone named Zapata, and he had an associate named Guzman. Isn't that interesting? And it was in Chicago Federal District Court in that area. And they used the argument, the 80-20 rule. We were promised by the Obama administration 80% of our drugs to get through, you'd only bust 20%. Okay, well, you busted us on the 80%, you got to let us go. And these two got off on a technicality. And so, how far does the penetration in the US go as far as you know?
We don't know because it's never really been investigated. We do know, I mean, people know about Fast and Furious by this point. I know the allegation for that is they were trying to map those networks in Latin America. And, you know, the reality is if you're a DEA agent, you're in Latin America and you're trying to infiltrate the drug trade, you got to have something to bring to the table or they're going to shoot you in the head. You know, it's just the way it works. I understand the less nefarious argument for that. We also know, of course, that there was another story. It was really weird. Politico had it years ago. It was during the Obama administration, and they said that the Obama administration had actually worked with Hezbollah in Latin America, and they were supplying cocaine through these networks. Again, I don't know what the reason was. Politico painted a very non-nefarious argument for it, suggesting again. This was made to, like, you know, infiltrate and map the organizations in Latin America. What is the truth? I don't know because there was never a follow-up story. Nobody ever pursued it further. The other problem you have too is this is dangerous ground. I know, for example, I've talked to police officers, I've talked to DEA agents. There are actual cartel compounds in the United States, very strong ones. I know in parts of California, I've heard directly from people who deal with this stuff. They'll have like patrols out. They have guys doing counter surveillance. You know, oftentimes they'll hire, unfortunately, former special operations forces guys from the
Yes.
United States to work with them. So you're dealing with
DJNJ, yeah.
very well-trained guys. Very well-trained guys. And the other problem too is when you're working with the nexus of gangs, they also kill people and they do it under the guise of botched robberies and things like that. Because, you know, remember the cartels, okay, you have groups like the Mexican Mafia, the cartels, and so on, that work as kind of the top level. And then you have the street gangs. They treat the street gangs as disposable. Hey, this kid you know, become a player. This kid wants to become, you know, one of the big guys on the street. You know, and you're dealing with a small street gang. Okay, I'll tell you what, we'll give you guys this territory, but you need to assassinate this guy. And so you know, that group then they'll hire the guy they don't want, you know, like stupid Eddie from down the street or something like that. Say, hey, Eddie, you know, you want to come up, you want to be one of the big guys, go shoot this guy, pretend to rob him, shoot him in the head. And they'll do it. And so it looks like a botched robbery. It looks like a gang-related crime. And then oftentimes, you know, they'll kill that guy. They will kill them typically. Because you know, then what is it? It's defined as turf war. It's defined as gang warfare. It's defined as a gang-related crime. Kill that guy. Boom, done. You know, things are off. Things are gone, basically. And so you know, they do that here in Latin America. They do that to control the governments. Look at how many mayoral candidates. Anybody who says they're going to fight against the cartels gets killed. Any person who campaigns on the idea of doing something about crime, they get killed, because these groups, that's how they operate.
It's amazing. Well, I know I've been told this is off the record comment to me, so I don't think I can put this out here as something I could prove in court. But in the Maricopa County Sheriff's Department, I live in northern Maricopa County, they had three officers, first generation Americans, and they were caught dealing with cartel interests. And that was the phrase, cartel interests. And the thinking on the part of the person who told me this, who was also law enforcement, he said they know for a fact that their families in Mexico were being threatened if they didn't play ball. Have you run across that kind of thing?
Unfortunately, yes. The cartels do it. The Chinese Communist Party does it very aggressively. Because, the unfortunate reality we have with the United States is we're a very, very, very open system. And, great, that gives us a lot of freedom, but it opens up a lot of very dangerous doors for us. I can tell you a few examples of this. I know the cartels, they'll actually send they'll send a lot of their trainees to join the US military. And what happens? They get military training,
Yes.
right? And they get American citizenship. Something that's not very widely known, joining the military, you don't have to be an American citizen to join the military. It's actually a path to citizenship. So if you come here legally and you have some degree of legal status, you can join the US military and gain citizenship. I've been told by individuals, very good sources as well, they were concerned about it. In some Chinese communities, they actually have to like close the doors sometimes at military recruitment offices because they have lines of Chinese out the door trying to join the military. And I know there were concerns about this because they don't know if they're spies or not. They're like, who are all these people trying to join the military? The problem, as you mentioned too, is sometimes even if the individuals have no nefarious intent, if they have family in China, if they have family in Mexico, the family then can also become tools to use against them. And so, if it comes out like, hey, they're going to kill your parents if you
Yeah.
don't play ball, a lot of them will play ball, especially if it's not like a major thing. Oh, hey, take this document home. Oh, hey, when you're done with this, come back home. You'll have a cushy job in the PLA, the People's Liberation Army, or come back to Mexico and you can train our guys and what you learn from the US military. And that's scary too, because America, we take a lot of pride in our military. It's scary to think that we would actually be training operatives of foreign militaries, who are just subverting our system. It happens a lot.
Well, I'll
And
give you one.
they do it through government jobs too. I know, for example, one of the big things I've been trying to expose lately, the Chinese Communist Party in particular, they try to get their operatives into government positions, IRS, DEA, everything. And imagine too, if you're the cartel, what's the best way to avoid problems? Well, you try to get your guys to become the guys who would go after you, right? Simple. It's classic mafia tactics.
Well, we have an ex-RICO investigator, no longer living in Phoenix, but he uncovered some things and talked about how some of the politicians and judges are compromised by the Chinese using cartel money laundering interests in the real estate
Oh, yeah.
aspect. And they skim the money off and give it to the judges they want to bribe, the police they want to bribe. Do you have awareness of that about what's happening in Arizona, particularly Maricopa County?
I can tell you a terrible story about that. And you're gonna have to kind of take my word on this a bit because this is one of the few stories that it's one of the only stories I did not pursue. Because it was too dangerous. And for I think this is maybe the only one I've ever done that with. When I go after investigations, I weigh two things. Is this important enough? Is this necessary for my time? The other one is, if it's dangerous, is it worth dying for? And sometimes honestly I say, yeah, it's worth dying for. Sometimes I'm like, no, it's just corruption and money stuff. I don't really care about it. I had two guys come to me one time with a story, and I can tell you some crazy stuff I've investigated that I never wrote about because when you write about it and you want to name people, you have to prove it in court, and you have to be able to prove it in court, and it just gets a bit messy. But I can tell you some, without naming names, without going too deep, I can tell you some stuff that I've researched and I believe was well and well was very strong enough to go out there, particularly on real estate. Okay, I can't say where this was, but I can tell you I had two sources come to me one time with a horrifying story. There was a recent murder that had taken place. One of their friends was taking on himself, good for him, to go investigate a real estate crime, and his allegation was is there was an organized crime system that involved the Chinese mafia. That involved street gangs and that involved corrupt DAs and corrupt one corrupt police department. And what they were doing was is they were taking properties from elderly people. I don't know how exactly they were. I can't. This was like more than a decade ago. It was a long time ago. But from what I get, they were like they were doing some weird things with the deeds. And because they had people within the system, they were doing it, and they were stealing old people's. They were stealing the homes of elderly people. And what I was told was is you okay? There were several levels to this. You had street gangs who were basically causing trouble. The street gangs were involved in kind of the more criminal element of it. This was groups tied to the Chinese mafia, the triads. You also had corrupt lawyers. You had one judge, a judge involved with this, and you also had a DA involved with this, according to the allegation. The individual who tried investigating this did manage to get the documents. These documents were given to his friends, who gave them to me, but the individual had been killed. He was found with a quarter-inch hole in the back of his head, and his body was cremated soon after. His friends said that the report on cause of death, they said he was overweight and he had a heart attack. The guy was a skinny Chinese guy. He wasn't overweight. And yeah, quarter inch hole in the back of your head, and you had a heart attack. They cremated his body, showed to nobody, boom, done, things off the table. Story never seen again. But I was told that was part of it. The other side they were doing is it was also a real estate scam they were doing. So what I was told was is these gangs, they were going into communities and intentionally stirring up local street gangs to cause trouble. The intent was they were trying to drive down the housing prices, right? So they were driving down the value of housing markets. And then what happened is you have corrupt politicians go in working with the higher end, right? So you have the mafia, the kingpins, then you have the street gangs. The mafia would go in then working with the corrupt system. They would go in and they'd say, okay, we're going to clean up the community. They would have the mafia guys, the Chinese mafia, the higher ups, go in and tell the street gangs, cool it or we're going to kill all of you. You know what I mean? Then what happens? Crime goes down, housing markets go up. The politician involved with it can say, look at what we've accomplished. Look at how great I am. Everybody's happy. And what they did between that is when they drove down, when they were creating crime, they were driving down the housing prices. Other people, investors move in, they buy that up. And when things clean up, the prices go up and they all get rich. And they were using, again, part of this to steal those properties during the low market time, right? People don't pay as much attention to it, there's not much money involved. Incredibly corrupt. I've actually told this story to some, people in law enforcement that I've been told this is not like a one-time thing. I know people who've said they've encountered this in other places. So apparently I don't know how common it is, but I know that it's not like a one-off thing.
Joshua, it's in Maricopa County. I could take what you've said and put names and places on it, politicians, some prominent politicians, and some judges.
Yeah. Well, to my point, I just want to clarify the ones I knew were not there, but I do find it
Yeah,
interesting that
I don't
you
know. I'm
say
not
it's
trying to
pretty
pin you
prevalent.
down.
Yeah.
I'm just saying what you're telling me is
Yeah.
this is not an isolated case that I'm aware of here. I've done shows on this, and I think to
Wow.
some there's a certain amount, element of danger, and not so much for me, but for the person reporting. In fact, I've told the person, I won't mention your name for a while, probably take the heat off, but this guy was a former RICO prosecutor,
Wow.
and he had a family member he discovered was involved by accident, and that was his opening to finding this out. And it's scary how far it's gone. And you mentioned one city government. That fits the exact description of what's going on in Maricopa County with one city named Mesa, Arizona.
Really?
And I've covered this, so I think it's okay for me to say this. There's even, you're familiar probably with the show Suits from Netflix. It's on Netflix.
I have not seen it.
Oh, okay. Well, it's the backdrop of the story is a really intelligent guy, bad luck, but he pretends to be a lawyer and gets away with it for a while. And he's so intelligent he can overcome it. But they kept him legitimate by hacking into the Bar Association records and the university records where he got his law degree. Okay, now as funny as this sounds, that's happening in Arizona. I am not joking. I'm absolutely convinced from, and I've got more than one source on this, and it's CCP driven with cartel enforcement.
Which is how the CCP uses the cartels, by the way.
And it's
I've
amazing.
said this before, the cartels are the foot soldiers of the CCP. The CCP is the kingpin.
Yes. Well, the one thing that really bothers me too, and kind of an offshoot here, Trump's involved with Chinese negotiations for the tariffs and so forth. I would add a percent to every person who dies from fentanyl poisoning from this point on. This is an act of war
It is.
that the
Uh,
CCP
it's
is
it's
carrying
even
out.
written. It's even written by them as such. They call it drug warfare.
Yeah, the people that die are young American males, the early 20s. Well, that's your fighting force for the military. And you said something interesting about the Chinese joining the military. I've published pictures and talk and interviewed people like JJ Correll, former Border Patrol supervisor, Chinese standing parade at rest by giving papers to the Border Patrol. Whoever heard of illegal aliens giving papers to the Border Patrol? And then I've got reports of Chinese going into Camp Pendleton in the same time frame. And so you said they have a concern about the Chinese joining the military. I would say they should, because these caravans of people I've seen the pictures of, they're all military age. They have military mannerisms. They all set their duffel bags down by their right foot. They often stand with their hands clasped behind their back, military parade at rest. I mean, it's pretty clear what we're dealing with here. And the Border Patrol people I know tell me that in California, 8 to 10,000 a month were coming in under Biden in the last year.
I saw it personally. I did pretty intense investigations into the border crisis, including I went down to Panama. I went to the Darien Gap. I did investigations at the U.S. at both sides of the U.S.-Mexico border, and also was able to gain access to some of those areas because I have a friend. You have to go with Border Patrol for some of this stuff. Border Patrol won't take you, but I have a friend, Border Patrol Union. Who's with Border Patrol, but with the union, so he's not controlled by them, who was able to get me to some of those areas. And yeah, I saw that group after group. And further down in Latin America, I was encountering a lot of them were from Honduras, and a lot of it were from Venezuelan,
Yeah.
handful of Chinese, but on the US side, tons of Chinese, tons and tons of Chinese.
Well, my Green Beret friends tell me a well-trained squad of eight people can take down a grid in LA.
Oh, yeah.
That's the scary thing here. I wanted to go back to the universities for a second. I didn't cover it in depth. I just am aware that these organizations of Chinese students on American campuses are in evidence. What can you tell me about how they operate?
So there's a few elements to this. One of the most surface ones is the one most people have heard about, the Confucius Institutes. The
Yes.
Chinese Communist Party pays universities and school. It's kindergarten. It's like lower grades. It's all school. Even for like little kids, kindergarten, they have what are called the little red schools tied in with this. So it's not just colleges. It's your high school. It's your middle school. It's your junior high. It's everything. But what they do is they pay schools to have these programs. And imagine you're a school. You don't have a huge budget, or maybe you do. And there's a foreign government program. They're like, hey, we want to start a language and culture program at your school. We will pay for and provide the teachers. We'll build the buildings. Nothing on you, and you get to offer new services to your students. Who wouldn't want that? The problem is, first off, once you become financially tied with them, they can use it for other ways. If you ho It's happened, for example, university will host a human rights event. The CCP will say, hey, this is offensive to the Chinese people. Yeah, the CCP is killing the Chinese people, but it's offensive if you expose it, right? This is offensive to the Chinese people. It's culturally insensitive. And if you do it, we're going to pull the money out.
Yes.
And so they're able to cancel, human rights events, pro-democracy events, everything like that. Not offensive to the real Chinese people, only offensive to the Chinese Communist Party, which is abusing the Chinese people. The more nefarious ones, though, are not as well known. I've been trying to raise awareness of what are called the CSSAs, the Chinese Student and Scholar Associations. These are openly paid for, financed, and operated by the Chinese consulates. They used to make it more public. There's even a branch of the Chinese Communist Party that coordinates the entire thing. They have since deleted all of their web pages on this. Luckily, I saved all the archives. I've posted all of my research, including screenshots and links to the archives on my X account, which is at Josh J. Phillip. The way these work is this: they set up these student groups at the universities, and most major universities in the United States have them, almost all of them. These are not just student groups, though. It's the Chinese Student and Scholar Associations. So it's university faculty, it's Chinese professors, and anybody who they bribe or get involved with it. It's Chinese students. And it's also members of the Chinese community, which are the Tong leaders, which are the networks that work as the front organizations of the CCP, which then infiltrate political circles, business circles, media circles, anything of influence. This is the nexus of Chinese espionage, how the whole system works. So when students come to the US to study, sometimes they automatically enroll them in the CSSAs. And the CSSAs to serve two purposes. One is to work in the interests of the CCP, which we'll get into in a minute. The second is to control visiting Chinese. So if you're a Chinese student and you go to America, there's a few risks. You might get involved in human rights. You might start criticizing the CCP. You might come here and fall in love with America and see maybe you learn about the Tiananmen Square massacre or live organ harvesting. The CSSAs will monitor the other students. So if a Chinese student joins a democracy movement or they go to an event about, live organ harvesting of Falun Dafa practitioners, or they get induced something and start criticizing, slave labor of Muslim Uyghurs or something like that, the CSSAs will report them and they'll be punished. That could be punishment against their families, oftentimes punishment against them back in China. They could lose their ability to stay in the US. They could lose any future job opportunities. Their family members could be punished for it, whole nine yards. And so these groups control the Chinese students. They threaten them, everything. When you have protests and the Chinese student groups come out, when you have that happen, oftentimes it's the CSSAs. When you see Chinese students going and protesting against America, usually it's the CSSAs. But the more nefarious thing they do is this. They have two other operations. One is to steal things. The other is to have spies planted within our system. They call this, serving China by returning to China or serving in place. There's other things that do this. The Torch program does this. There's a lot of related programs, but this one in particular. If they want you to steal something or to do whatever else, you come here and they'll try to push you into government-funded research projects. We have Pentagon-funded research projects, military technology. We have medical research. We have all kinds of stuff at universities. If they want to get a student into it, imagine you have students and scholars and faculty. The professors and the faculty members can try to push a student and get them to get access to that research program. And so they can coordinate with each other to make sure their people get in. Student learns it, they go back to China and they steal whatever they built. They steal it. And that's one of the ways they do that. The other side is they build up networks of connections. So, one of the big benefits of going to Harvard or Yale is the connections, meaning you're tied in with all the future leaders of the United States, the journalists, the business leaders, the politicians, right? All the people with ambitions who studied at these major universities, they're tied into the social circles of the Chinese Communist Party elite. To the extent that the CCP calls these, basically training facilities for the CCP. So many of them go to American universities. The real scary part, even though that's bad in and of itself, and keep in mind too, they'll study our laws, they'll study our political systems, they will then advise the Chinese military on political warfare. So they know how to manipulate the legal systems of the United States because they study it in our schools. That's what they do. And then imagine even worse, they want to join the military, and because you graduated from there, you can go right to being an officer. And they get into West Point. There's a big problem of CCP subversion of West Point, and then they become military officers in our own military. Imagine that. But I'd say even worse, the part I was going to get to. They also plant them in desired positions. This could be a business, it could be the financial system, it could be the Fed. They're having a big problem now, they're finding of Chinese agents who've been infiltrating them. It could be they want to get them into the DEA. Maybe they want somebody in the Department of Justice. Maybe they want a judge. Maybe they want somebody to run for political office and or become an advisor of a major politician. They'll get into these socialite circles where you have small communities of the wealthy elite who are kind of the decision makers in our country. They'll get into those circles. They'll try to plant them. Imagine you have an FBI agent who's working with the Chinese Communist Party, who is Chinese, and they can trigger investigations into groups. We're finding many examples of this where, for example, there's for example, attacks on Shenyun Performing Arts right now. Shenyun
Yes.
Performing Arts, again, started by Chinese dissidents, religious dissidents who practice Falun Dafa, trying to revive the culture the CCP destroyed. They're getting targeted endlessly by bomb threats, death threats, and investigations. And New York Times is triggering a lot of this. One of the individuals who's triggering it, her dad, he denies it, but he was on their lists, is part of one of the Chinese Tongs. The terrible stuff like this. The people they're interviewing, about 10 people triggering all of the claims. Almost all of them have some weird tie to the Chinese Communist Party. The guy who took credit for feeding them the stories, he's been actually named in documents that have been leaked, where Chinese agents have talked specifically about using them. And the articles from New York Times, Epoch Times exposed this. The articles are being pushed by armies of Chinese-tied bots. In fact, X, formerly Twitter, when we reported the bots we identified, banned thousands of them that were boosting the New York Times articles. So this is how the Nexus works. They know how to manipulate the open systems of the United States. And all of these things tie into that bigger picture.
That's an amazing story, but two things came to mind as you were describing this. The name jumps out of my head, but the aide to Governor Hochul, a very high position, she got busted for in safe. And then we have the agricultural terrorism at the University of Michigan, and now three people have been brought up on charges, all Chinese, trying to destroy our crops, and not only destroy our crops. If you ingesting these crops, it's bad for your health too. I think it's called geranium. They inserted into the what they were doing in the laboratory. It's everywhere and anywhere. We're out of time, but first of all, my apologies for the New York Times reference here. I can't believe I said that. You're the antithesis of the New York Times.
Hey, maybe we'll replace them one day.
Epoch Times, one of my favorites. I'm a subscriber. But Joshua, I really appreciate you coming on. But before we go, tell people how they can follow you.
So thank you. Well, I'm the senior investigative reporter with the Epoch Times, and I also do a show called Crossroads. You can find it on YouTube, Crossroads with Joshua Philip.
Okay, terrific. I hope you don't have trouble with the YouTube censors.
I do,
Anyway,
but it's okay.
yeah, that's a story unto itself. Our guest has been Joshua Philip. Epoch Times, terrific work. Crossroads, the show I've been catching it. It's excellent. I highly recommend it. Joshua, again, thanks for coming on. I'm sure we'll talk again.
A pleasure. Thank you.
Hello, America, and to our friends around the world, welcome to the Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. Thank you so much for joining us. Make sure that you sign up for our TV show. People love the Hiding in Plain Sight series. A discussion of anomalies, quantum physics, mysteries of the minds, hidden history. Pretty cool stuff. People love it. TheCommonSenseShow.tv is where you want to go. We are brought to you by Noble Gold. And in this topsy-turvy time for the dollar, just remember, the more the dollar dies, the more gold will rise. It's holding steady right now at about $3,300 an ounce. Who would have ever believed it? I remember when 800 was a major milestone. But the thing that you should be concerned about are two particular laws. One's a law, one's an administrative function. Dodd-Frank 2010 and is the law, and the administrative function is UCC Section 8, Paragraph 5. And they both basically say the same thing. Banks in distress can keep your money. A percentage of it, 100% of it. And you have no say. Once you put your money or attach your retirement to the bank, you're giving it to them to do what it is that they will do. And I think that is reckless beyond belief. Now, do we have to maintain bank accounts to function today? Yes, we do. Do you put everything in there, including your retirement? Anyone who puts their retirement associated with a bank is making a very foolish move. Noble Gold can separate your retirement from the bank, put it under your control, back it with precious metals instead of a declining asset called the dollar, and you're going to be in business. How do you find out more? How do you get started? Well, first, I got to give you a warning. The FTC wants me to tell you, as they tell all people to say this, that there are no guarantees. And I agree with giving that warning. They should be warning you also about the banks and what they can do to you. You talk to bank, I've talked to bank officials on this, people I even know. I really can't talk about that. And I've heard that story from my audience too, as they've approached bank officials they know. They try to keep it secret, but they can rob you blind. And that's effectively what they're doing. So what do? You go to Noble Gold, 877-646-5347, with the confidence that I have been an advertiser for them for going on 9 years, and going on 8 years, I have been a customer multiple times over. And I keep going back to the well time and time again. 877-646-5347. Well, I want to know, for the people that got burned out of their homes. One person I talked to is a victim, actually works at Noble Gold. And no one deserved what happened. And maybe it was a tragic accident. Other people say otherwise. I don't know. I don't have enough evidence to make a claim. And honestly, I haven't put that on my front burner. But what I am going to put on my front burner is this. When Hollywood finally does something right, and they try to support the people who are victimized, and they promised, and I believe they were sincere in their promise, that the money would go directly to the victims. It did not. There are people out there investigating this right now, and some in the media that can't find one person that's been compensated. The funds went to places like immigration lawyer offices. Okay, well, that may be a worthwhile cause, but it wasn't what this was intended for. It also has gone to Newsom's, shall we say, discretionary funds. Well, I guess his discretion is much like it was with the light rail and funding the homeless at $100 million he received and did not dispense. That's right. That's a fact, folks. And the DOJ is looking into it as we speak. The DOJ needs to expand and look at this. There are several nonprofits that receive this money. The money should never have gone to a nonprofit. And as far as we know, it never went beyond the nonprofits. And if it did in a trickle, it certainly was not what this was intended for. This was 100%, it's going to go to the people. And I've seen the ads for it from Hollywood, and I don't blame Hollywood. They came up with $100 million. And these people that were victims of the LA fires are still in dire straits with no aid. This is inexcusable. I am calling on Kash Patel and Pam Bondi to go in full force, publicize it, investigate it, and indict if necessary. I'm Dave Hodges. This is the Common Sense Show.